Amen. Thank you for that song. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 121, the 121st Psalm is where we're going to be in the Word today. And that's exactly what we want to learn about doing, is turning our eyes to Jesus. Last week we studied about Jehoshaphat and when the armies of Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir were coming against them. They said, they're too great for us, they're too powerful, they're too mighty, and we don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And as we continue with that thought, we're in Psalm 121. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word, and we'll pray, and then we'll read our text this morning. Brother Bildon, will you please lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 121 is the second psalm in a list of songs. There are 15 songs of degrees. You might have a heading like that in your Bible, a song of degrees or song of ascents. Psalm 120 through 134, and these psalms were used, songs that the people of Israel used as they went to Jerusalem for the different feasts that they would go through, those different holy days that they would go to Jerusalem for. So these would be songs sung by the pilgrims, the worshipers, as they went up to Jerusalem. And by the way, no matter where you were in Israel, Jerusalem was always up. Do you guys get that? Because we talk like that, at least I do. When you go to Texas, do you go up or down?
Down.
That's right. It's always down to Texas, right? And we're not going to talk about Kansas, Ben. It's always up to Kansas. Now, we usually orient ourselves north and south. We go up if we go north, and we go down if we go south. But no matter where you were in Israel, when you went to Jerusalem, you went up because it was the mountain of God. It was the hill of Zion. It was the city of the king. It was the place where the temple was. It was the place where they went up to worship. And so these were songs that were sung as they went up into the feast. And possibly it was used by them later just in temple worship. But so here they are on their road to Jerusalem, on their way up. And so this is the idea. You're a pilgrim. You're traveling through the wilderness. You're going up to Jerusalem. And it's just to remind us where our real help comes from. Where does our help come from? Who are we looking to help us? It moves in this song from personal confession to personal assurance. And it reminds us that even though in this life we're going to experience difficulty, we're going to experience weakness, we will be weary, we will face evil and dangers on the road of life, our help comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. He is our helper. He is our keeper. He is our protector. He is the creator of all things. So in this, two verses, we see the pilgrim's confession of dependence. And then the verses 3 through 8, we see the keeper's promise of preservation. And I think this all begins, first of all, number one, we need to admit that we need help. We need to admit that we need help. We need help in so many ways. At camp this week, Brother Tim Gustafson and I got to teach the young men about biblical manhood. And, And one of the things that Brother Tim talked about is in the beginning, God created everything. And on day one, he said it was good. And on day two, he created and he said it was good. And day three and four and five. But he gets down to verse six or day six and he says, it is not good. You remember what he said? It is not good that man should be alone. So he makes a helper for Adam. He makes Eve, and he says it's not good for man to be alone. He needed help. All right. I mean, I'm trying to give you guys opportunities like it's just sitting there for you. Amen. Men need help. But guess what? Women need help too. We all need help. We all need help, and our help ultimately has to come from God. We have to admit that we need help. I don't know if you're aware of this today, but we are all sinners in need of a Savior. We all fall short. We all sin every single day. Every day I need to go to God to be cleansed. Every day I need to confess and repent. Every day I just need to admit to God that I need help. And so the song starts, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? Or it's really in question form in the Hebrew. It's really from where does my help come? It's a question. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. We want to look to the Lord, our helper. And we know that people in the world today are looking for help and love in all the wrong places. Looking for help in all the wrong places. Most of the time, people are looking to themselves for help. I'm gonna help myself. And there's a lot of books that have been written over the years that are self-help books. And while you ought to be responsible for yourself, ultimately, friends, you can't help yourself. You need God. A lot of people are looking to money for help or possessions for help. If I just could make more money, if I could just buy more things, then I would be happy, then I would be satisfied, then my life would be fulfilled. But you know what? The most rich people in the world today, with billions of dollars of worth, you know what they want? More money. Because money can't help you. It can't satisfy you. Whatever you get, you're never going to be satisfied from those things. A lot of people are looking for help from relationships. We just came from camp, and there was a little bit of talk about camp relationships. I asked one of the boys that was with us, I said, how many girlfriends do you have? He said, just one. Just one. I was so proud of him that he only had one. And his girlfriend was from Louisiana. I said, that's a really good place for your girlfriend to be from. She'll go home to Louisiana, you go home to your house, and it's all going to be good. No, people think that if I could just get a relationship, then I would be satisfied. If I could just get a relationship, I would be fulfilled. If I could just get a relationship, then I would have everything I ever want. I'm going to tell you, relationships are good, and it's not good for us to be alone. And God has blessed us with great relationships, but your relationship can only help you so far. You need God. And by the way, you need God in your relationship. People are trying to find help from all kinds of places. People look to doctors, therapists, experts, their career, their achievement, their education, technology. People are looking to artificial intelligence for help today. You'd think that we would get a clue by the name. Artificial intelligence. People are looking for help in all kinds of places, and certainly I'm thankful for doctors, and I'm thankful for therapists, and I'm thankful for help that we can get, but ultimately all of those things are limited, all of those resources are limited, but the song says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who did what? Made heaven and earth, the creator of all things. He's not limited. He's not limited. Some people are looking for help from the government. If that's you today, I want to stop and like have a moment of silence for you. Terrifying words. I'm from the government. I'm here to help. Listen, our help has to come from God. Now he says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. And there are some people who interpret these hills or mountains negatively. The idea being, I lift up my eyes and I look on the hills and it's dangerous and it's treacherous. Or they look at it negatively and they say, this is the place where the false gods are worshipped, you know, the groves and the high places. And some people look at this negatively. I don't. I think it's actually the exact opposite of that. This idea of lifting up your eyes in Hebrew is a positive. It's usually translated with the idea of looking with longing or desire. I'm looking up to the hills for help. I'm looking to the hills for comfort and for strength. It's something I'm longing for. So I think it's very positive. And I think what he's really looking at is Mount Zion, where the presence of the Lord is. And I think it's borne out in these Psalms. Look at Psalm 120. He starts these songs of degrees, or the songs of ascent, because they're singing and worshiping and praising God as they go up to Jerusalem. He sings in Psalm 120, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. So he starts out in distress, and then in 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And then look at 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of our Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. So he starts in distress. He says, I'm going to look to the hills. I'm going to look to God. And then he says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go unto the house of the Lord. And by the way, in the Old Covenant, at that time, the house of the Lord was the temple. It was the place of worship. Where is the temple today? Look around the room. This building is not the house of God. You are the house of God. Don't you know that you're not your own? You are bought with a price. You are the temple of the living God. He is in you. When you repented of your sin, you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes and he lives inside of you. And you individually are the temple of the living God. And we as the church are the temple of the living God. He lives in us. You are the house of God. So we don't have to go to Israel, to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount to worship. But they did. They did. And they said, we're going to go to the house of the Lord. We're going to go to Jerusalem. Psalm 123, verse 1. Unto thee I lift I up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. So get it? He says, I'm going to go to the mountains, I'm going to go to the hills, I'm going to go to the house of God. But ultimately, the focus isn't the place. The focus is God. And it's never been about the place. It's always been about him. When he told Moses to build the tabernacle, it wasn't about the tent, and it wasn't about the altar, and it wasn't about the table of showbread and all the different elements that they had there. It was about the presence of God. He said, I'm going to dwell with my people. And so the point is always, always to look to God. Psalm 124, verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, how now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. And so they just keep looking to God. And Psalm 125, verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. And so we look to God. So number one, admit you need help. Number two, look to the Lord, your helper. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 146, verse 1. I'm moving quick. They'll be on the screen. Dave's super fast back there. Look at this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever, which executes judgment for the oppressed, which gives food to the hungry. The Lord looses the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Listen, the God who created everything is the God who is for you, the God who you can look to for help, and the one who will help you if you call out to him. When I understood that I was lost and I was on my way to hell, I cried out to him and he did help me. You know what he did? He saved me. He forgave my sins. He gave me everlasting life. But it's not just that. He helps me every single day. He gives me everything I need and so much more. He taught them to cry out to him, to look to him. And all of this ultimately is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And that God who created everything is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That God who we just read about in Psalm 146 and in Luke chapter 4, the one who executes judgment for the oppressed, the one who gives food to the hungry, the one who looses the prisoners, the one who opens the eyes of the blind, the one who raises those that are bowed down. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate fulfillment of it all. And when you need help, you need to understand today, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Just like some of y'all got the t-shirt, y'all need Jesus. It's very true. For every one of us, we need him. Look to the Lord, your helper. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the creator of everything that exists in the universe, and it exists by him. He created it all and exists for him. All things are for his glory. And I just want you to know, when you admit that you need help, you can look to the Lord who will help you. He has the power to create everything. He has the power to help you. That's good news. So just quick survey. Anybody here have any problems in life right now? Just anybody? All right. I see those hands. And the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, are you lying to yourself or just like everything's fine? Everything's fine. Sometimes I have to repeat that to myself. Listen, we all have problems. We all have trials and tribulations. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's mental and emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. It's financial. Listen, we all have trials and tribulations. We are on a perilous journey through this life. And I'm here to tell you, you can look to the Lord who helps. He's the God who helps. And he cares. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus not only has all power, but he is and is able, but he is willing. He is willing to help you. He cares. I don't know if you've ever felt like that in your life. I think we all have those pity parties sometimes. You ever just feel like nobody cares? Anybody? Is it true that nobody cares? Listen, even if everybody in your family didn't care anymore, even if there was nobody, no other human on the planet who cared, Jesus still cares. Amen. There are a lot of people who wish they could help you. They have a willingness to help you, but they don't have the ability. There are other people in the world that have the ability, they have the means to help you, but they don't have a willingness. But there's a God in heaven who is both able and willing. So look to him. Admit you need help. Look to your helper. And number three, rest in his promises to keep you. Check this out. He is our help. This first idea of help, my help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth, is the Hebrew word etzer. It doesn't just mean to help somebody, kind of assist them along the way. It's about the divine protection of Almighty God for his people. It goes beyond just somebody who's kind of helping you along the way. This is the God who is divinely watching over and protecting his people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of, and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And I want you to get this. There were a lot of signs and shadows and types and figures in the Old Testament, places where people came near to the presence of God. But we're not come to a mountain in Israel. We're not come to a building made with hands. We're not coming with sacrifices like they did from Abel all the way through. We are coming with faith in Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He is the one who has fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. And he's the one we're coming to. He's better. He's better than Abel. He's better than Moses. He's better than the angels. He's better than everything because he is above all things. He is our help. That's the one we're coming to. He is divinely watching over and protecting his people. Look at back at Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Here he talks about the watchful care of God. This idea of keeper is the Hebrew word shamar. It means to guard or protect. The Lord protects. Literally, it's a name of God here. He is the guardian of Israel. The Lord is the guardian of Israel. Now, the pagan gods, the gods of the heathen, were often depicted as sleeping. Sometimes it's even written in their stuff. Like, I don't remember exactly what people group it was, but I read about how their god was asleep, and the people woke the god up, and so the god punished them with famine because they woke him up. Right? I don't know why people make up that story except for maybe, you know, their dad was napping and they woke him up and they got in big trouble for waking dad up from his nap. Amen? Children should learn to leave dad alone while he's napping. No amens for that? Okay. These gods would fall asleep, and it makes sense because we read about how Elijah, when he faced off with the prophets on the mountain, and they're worshiping Baal and they're cutting themselves. Remember how he made fun of them? Said, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. So these gods of the pagans are often seen as sleeping, but aren't you thankful our God never sleeps? He never slumbers. Like, literally, he's God. He doesn't need to rest, but what the psalmist is communicating to us here is that God is always watching. While you're asleep, he's still watching over you. When you pray, he's watching over you. And when you forget to pray, he's still watching over you. When you're faithful to study his word, he's watching over you. And when you neglect his word, he's still watching over you. When you do what's right, he's watching over you. And when you do what's wrong, he's watching over you. He never sleeps and he never slumbers. He is always guarding over his people. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. The Lord is watching over us. The Lord is caring for us. The Lord is protecting us. Psalm 70 and verse 1. Psalm 70, verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that my heart that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. I am poor and needy. I need God's help, and he is my help and my deliverer. Next, he says, the Lord is thy keeper. Verse 5, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. A soldier in the Old Testament, New Testament, and even in some places today, if they carry a shield, most people are right-handed. I know there's some southpaws in here, but most people are right-handed, and they carry their shield on their left hand. So their left hand is protected, but their right side is opened. So when soldiers would march into battle, they always wanted an ally to their right. Make sense to you? I got my shield here. I want my teammate here. And it's good that we get to go through life together. It's good that we can be a band of brothers. As a church, we come together and shoulder to shoulder, we move forward and serve Jesus together. But I got great news for you. It's not just your brother or your sister that's by your side. It is the Lord himself. The Lord himself. He says he is thy shade upon thy right hand. He is the one that is standing next to you in the battle. He is your ally at your right hand. Now here he gives these different concepts, the sun and the moon. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now people who have studied this out say this is called a merism. It's a literary device where two contrasting ideas are mentioned in effort to catch the sense of the whole. So it's not just the sun and the moon, but it's everything in between. When you're trying to find something, you might search high and low for it. What's that mean? I'm only going to look on top of the shelf and on the ground? No, what I mean is I'm going to look everywhere, right? I'm going to search high and low. That means I'm going to search everywhere for what I'm looking for. When you got married, you took vows and you said for better or for worse. So only when things are really good and only when things are really bad, but never anything in between? No, it means in all things, right? When things are great and when things aren't great and everything in between. And that's what he's saying. He's going to watch over you. He's going to protect you from the sun and the moon and everything in between. He's going to watch over you. He's going to watch over you. God is always, always your shade. He is always your protection. And then verses 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Do you notice the repetition? The Lord shall preserve thee. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. He's going to preserve you. He's going to protect you. He's going to guard you. And I want you to get this. Preserving you means that he's going to keep watching over you through your trials. This does not mean that you will never face trials or difficulties or dangerous times. It means that he's going to keep you through those dangerous times. He'll preserve you from all evil. What's that mean? Nothing bad ever going to happen? No. The evil one is going to come after you, but God is going to watch over you. And he taught us to pray that God would deliver us from the evil one. So he's going to deliver us. He's going to preserve us. He's going to preserve your soul. He's going to preserve your life. When you put your faith in Jesus, how long does he preserve you? How do you know? What's he say? What are the words he uses? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. How long does that last? Is that good news? He preserves your soul, your life. Now, he's going to protect you. Like, he watches over you. I've got an idea that if you would stop and just kind of take inventory of the times that you could have died but didn't, you would have a lot to give thanks for. Is that fair? I mean, sometimes just bad stuff happens, or sometimes maybe you got really, really sick and the Lord delivered you from that, or maybe you did something really dumb and should have just, like, you know, killed yourself, but God saved you. Anybody ever do dumb stuff? Like, really dangerous stuff? And you look back and you go, I don't know why God let me still be alive. So he preserves your soul. He preserves your life literally, physically. But guys, so much more than that, he preserves your soul eternally. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people who are worshiping the Lord today who don't believe that they have everlasting life. They hope they do, but they don't know. But you understand this morning that you can know that you have eternal life. This is good news. He preserves you. He shall preserve, shall preserve, shall preserve. He kind of brings the song to a crescendo as he repeats this phrase over and over and over again. He'll preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your soul. He'll preserve your going out and coming in now and even forevermore. In other words, your living. You're going out and coming in. That's just describing your day-to-day life. The Lord is with you now and forever. Amen. If you look to him, let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to close with a song this morning. And as they come, I just want to ask you if you'd pray with me for the Lord's will to be done in our lives. Father, I just thank you for time in your word. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. And I pray that if anyone in this room has never turned to you for help, that right now, as we pray, they would turn away from their sin and unbelief, that they would turn to you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I pray that we would all put our faith in Christ alone today. And Lord, as we go through day by day, we would continue to look to you, that we would look to the hills, that we would look to the Lord from where our help comes. Forgive us and help. Let your will be done in every life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.